While I did not always agree with Dr. Carson, I did concur with him on this issue. I happen to be familiar with the literature, not only because of my profession as a neuroscientist, but also because I'm the parent of two young children who, at the time, were 2.5 years old and 7 weeks old. So I was utterly surprised by my reaction to what Trump said next. "I'd like to respond," said Trump. "Autism has become an epidemic. It has gotten totally out of control. You take this little, beautiful baby, and you pump. I mean, it looks just like it's meant for a horse, not for a child. And we've had so many instances, people that work for me. Just the other day, 2 years old, 2.5 years old, a child, a beautiful child, went to have the vaccine and came back, and a week later got a tremendous fever, got very, very sick. Now is autistic." My response was immediate and visceral. An image of a nurse inserting a horse-sized syringe into my tiny baby emerged inside my head and would not fade away. It did not matter that I knew perfectly well that the syringe used for immunization was a normal size. I panicked. "Oh, no," I thought. "What if my child gets ill?" The fact that these thoughts were running through my mind shocked me. Nevertheless, anxiety, a feeling all too familiar to parents of all beliefs and backgrounds, abruptly took over. "But, you know," said Dr. Carson, "the fact of the matter is we have extremely well-documented proof that there's no autism associated with vaccinations." "No matter. Proof schmoof. Dr. Carson could have cited 100 studies, and it would have had no effect on the storm that erupted inside my head. I was absorbed by that stallion of a needle that was about to cause my child to get very, very ill. It made no sense. At one podium was a pediatric neurosurgeon whose ammunition included peer-reviewed medical studies and years of clinical practice. At the other was a businessman whose arguments boiled down to a single observation and intuition. Yet despite my years of scientific training, I was convinced by the latter. Why? I knew exactly why, and it was that understanding that brought me back to reality. While Carson was targeting the cerebral part of me, Trump was aiming at the rest of me. And he was doing it by the book, this book. Trump tapped into my very human need for control and my fear of losing it. He gave me an example of someone else's mistake and induced emotion, which helped align the pattern of activity in my brain with his, making it more likely that I would take on his point of view. Finally, he warned of the dire consequences of not following his advice. As I'll explain in this book, inducing fear is often a weak approach to persuasion. In fact, in most cases, inducing hope is more powerful. However, under two conditions, fear works well. A, when what you are trying to induce is inaction, and B, when the person in front of you is already anxious. These two criteria were satisfied in this case, as Trump was lobbying against the act of immunization, and his target audience, new parents, are the poster children for stress. The fact that I understood how Trump was affecting my thoughts subsequently enabled me to pause and reevaluate the situation. I would not change my mind on this issue. My young son will receive immunizations just as my daughter did before him. But I wondered how many other new parents out there were persuaded by his arguments. I also pondered what would have happened if Dr. Carson had done a better job of addressing people's needs, desires, motivations, and emotions, rather than assuming that they would make the correct decision after receiving the facts. A study I describe in Chapter 1 reveals why Dr. Carson's approach was likely to fail and what he could have done instead. Dr. Carson was speaking to millions, and he missed an extraordinary opportunity to make a difference. We all encounter such opportunities. You may not routinely address millions, but you address people every day, at home, at work, online, offline. The fact of the matter is that people love propagating information and sharing opinions. You can see this clearly online. Every single day, 4 million new blogs are written, 80 million new Instagram photos are uploaded, and 616 million new tweets are released into cyberspace. That is 7,130 tweets per second. Behind every tweet, blog, and uploaded photo is a human being like you and me. Why do millions of humans spend millions of precious moments every day sharing information? It appears that the opportunity to impart your knowledge to others is internally rewarding. A study conducted at Harvard University found that people were willing to forego money so that their opinions would be broadcast to others. Now, we are not talking about well-crafted insights here. These were people's opinions regarding mundane issues like whether Barack Obama enjoys winter sports and if coffee is better than tea. A brain imaging scan showed that when people received the opportunity to communicate their pearls of wisdom to others, their brain's reward center was strongly activated. We experience